Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, really verse 11 and 12, but we might get into a little further. It says down through verse 16 in your bulletin. But this is Christ's blueprint for the church. And we've been talking about church. Melinda talked about church in her testimony, talked about the importance of church, talked about church's family, how we come together, and I'm thankful that, you know, as she shared, you welcomed her, you prayed for her, you've made a big difference in her life by sharing Christ and by loving her. That's part of our commitment here at Placer Heights. And, you know, when a person joins our church, there's four things that we say we promise. We better promise them because we're saying it. We mean it. And that is, number one, to love them. Number two, to pray for them. To stand beside them, that's number three. To be with them in good times, bad times, you know, stand beside a person because they're part of our family. And number four is to help people to grow in their relationship with Christ. That's our four commitments. You know, of course, the person making a commitment to Christ, that's first, and then to the church. Now, interestingly enough, folks don't like church so much. They don't like membership in church so much anymore. And I was doing a little research, a little reading, a little bit of studying, and I found this book, and I asked for it. I had the library send it to me electronically. You know, they have e-books these days. And it's hard to put a bookmark. You know, I can't highlight. You can, but it's just not the same, you know. So I'm going to have to buy it so I can write in it. It'll be my copy. A fellow by the name of Smuts Van Ruin, he wrote a pamphlet because apparently he had some problem with church. And he said in his pamphlet, he titled the pamphlet, "Is the Church a Hole in the Head?" And he quoted a statement by a friend that had been greatly disappointed and greatly hurt by church in this little pamphlet. And his friend said this. He said, "I need the church like I need poverty or leprosy." And he said, "You know, the greatest hindrance to Christianity is churchism." Wow. I read that and say, wow, that's a person who's really been hurt by a church. And so, a fellow by the name of Robert Brown wrote a book called The Significance of the Church, and he quoted a medieval manuscript. Now, this medieval manuscript said, "The church is something like Noah's Ark. If it weren't for the storm outside, you could not stand the smell inside." Ouch. That hurts, doesn't it? I don't like that. But, you know, sometimes church is like that. I had a friend, you know, when my kids were little, you know, in the first, second, third, fourth grade, we had two different families other than my own family. So there were three couples, and we all had kids that matched up in age. And so we would have, we called it babysitting co-ops. You know, one weekend, our family would take all nine kids. And the next weekend, you know, all nine kids would go to another family. And so it was really great because two out of the three times, you know, my wife and I, we had date night and we had, you know, but then when all the kids came over, every kid had their own playmates built right into this situation. So supervising them wasn't hard at all. And I loved going to Walmart during that time because, you know, all the kids, it just so happened that they kind of all had red hair. And so all these nine kids, most of them with red hair, and people would say, "Wow, look at that. Are all those yours?" And I would say, "Yes, every one of them." All nine of them. You figure that one out. And I loved it. But one of my friends, one of those couples, told this story. They belonged to a different church. Well, we all three belonged to different churches, but one of this, they didn't go to church much anymore. Years before, her husband was a very skilled, he was a finished carpenter, and he did cabinetry work, and he did the fine, you know, the really nice kind of carpentry work that everybody puts in, you know, when you put in your home and people come in, the custom built stuff. And he got cut, hurt on work job one day and needed to go to the hospital, and he had a tetanus shot. We had an allergic reaction to the tetanus shot. And so he was paralyzed for several months. And during those several months, she stayed home and took care of him. And their financial situation was just terrible during that time because they had medical bills and he wasn't able to work and she wasn't able to work because she stayed home and took care of him. And their church had no contact with them until one day somebody from the church called them up and said, "Hey, we noticed you haven't been coming to church lately and you haven't been paying your tithes and offerings. And so unless you do, we're going to have to drop you from the church rolls." Oh, man, that hurt. That hurt. And so years later, you know, we're talking and my family's going to church and the other family's going to church and their family's not. And we're talking about church with our friends and they tell us that story. Let's not be that. Let's not be that. God gives us a blueprint for the church here in Ephesians chapter. I just have to say these things, get them off my chest today, okay? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says, "He himself," who's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ. You read the first part of that chapter, you see that. "He himself," that is Jesus Christ, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed about by the waves and blown about by every wind of teaching with human cunning and with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow up in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. From Him the whole body, fit and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for the building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ." As we look at this blueprint for the church, Christ gave gifts to the church. I'm going to go quickly because, you know, I just am. And I don't want to be here all day and want to get done on time. But Christ gave a blueprint for the church. Christ gave gifts to the church, and those gifts are people. That's the next 2 points on your outline. All right, we say He Himself gave some to be apostles. Now, if you look in the Bible, the definition of apostle was one that had seen Jesus Christ personally, had been with Him and seen Him personally. So, apostle, messenger, is someone who's seen. So, that's a limited thing. There's only going to be so many of them. The apostle Paul, you know, by that definition, is the last. Now, there are folks who may call themselves apostles today, but, you know, they're not in the same sense as the apostles in the Bible. Go ahead and put the next 2 points up there, Robert. So, anyways, Christ gave gifts to the church. The gifts are people. Talking about the apostles, that's limited. Then you have prophets. In the Old Testament, there were prophets. In the New Testament, there were some. They didn't have the written word of God, so they needed two things. They needed someone, you know, God would speak to a person, the person would speak to the people, and then that prophet would also represent the people before God. Now, Jesus Christ, He took that role. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Scriptures today, so prophets are limited in a time frame like that. Now, there are some folks who may prophesy today and who may, you know, say they foretell the future and so forth and all that, but, you know, as far as this definition that we're going to go, that's limited. And then it says some evangelists. Now, that's not limited because we're still doing the work of evangelism. Some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These are people. Now, these are the gifts. That's the first part of this blueprint, the gifts. The gifts are the people, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the leaders in the church. That's how God has laid out this blueprint. Now, the second feature of this blueprint is the purpose. Why did he do this? And it says in the next part of this verse, it says, some to be prophets, some evangelists. Get this, verse 12, equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Excuse me. The second feature of the blueprint, the purpose, equip the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. I've told this story before. I kind of like it, so I'll tell it again. I was working one day in Texas. It was like 1990-something, early 91, 92, 93, around in there. And there was I wasn't a member of this church at the time. I later became the pastor of that church. But it was a church that my wife had grown up in. And in that church, there was a man who was really, you know, he did all kind of stuff. He helped build the building. He was the deacon in the church for forever and ever and so on. And so he was working on the church building, and it was a metal building. And it had bricks on the outside, but on the inside it was just a metal building. And he was working on this metal building, and he needed help. What we were doing, just so you know, is that there was a rubber gasket that, you know, the wall went up like this, roof came down like that. There's a rubber gasket that went in there to keep rainwater from coming in. And that gasket needed to be replaced. So it meant get up on a ladder, you know, lift up the roof panel, put the rubber gasket in, set it back down. Pretty simple job, hot, up on a ladder. He needed help. I wasn't doing anything, so I thought I'd do the natural thing and just volunteer. So I volunteered, and so we're out there working together. And I think I was just fresh out of seminary at the time, or maybe I was still, I don't remember exactly. And so while we're working, his name was Mr. Hudson. Everybody called him Hut. Hut Hudson. I've tried to remember his first name, and I can't do it. I later became his pastor, and I still can't remember his first name. I actually called a few people around in the church there, you know, and I asked, do you remember Hudson's first name? And nobody did. So we'll just call him Hut. So I'm up there working, you know, and Hut, he's by this time, he's a little too old to climb up and down the ladder, but he's supervising, you know, he's really good at that and telling me what to do and so forth. And if I'm smart, I listen to him. And so he says, all of a sudden he says, well, you know, I don't know what they're teaching these young preachers these days. Now, I wasn't his pastor, but anyway. I don't know what they're teaching. Because, you know, it seems like a lot of these young preachers these days have the idea that they're supposed to teach the people in the church how to do the ministry. And so I said, well, Hut, Mr. Hudson, you know, I shared this verse with him. He says that he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for equipping the saints for the work of ministry. I said, I was about to get in the fact that, you know, he was equipping me to do the work of repairing the building, which I didn't know anything about, but he knew all about. But I was the one doing it, and he was the one teaching. But I didn't have to get that far because he thought about that for a minute. And he said, you know, I guess that's a pretty good idea. And you know how you have like two conversations in your head? You have the one that you actually say and the one that's really going on in your head. I'm like, of course it's a good idea. It's in the Bible. But he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Teach us for the work of the ministry. Equip us so that we can do it. And I had a beautiful example of that this past week because with our care teams, you know, one of our care captains was calling around and they found out a prayer request and then they sent me a message to let me know about the prayer request so that I could pray for the person and I could have contact with them and so forth. But, you know, it's everybody all working together, equip the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church, right? Okay. So, the first feature is the gifts of the people. The second feature is the purpose, equip the saints for the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ, and then the goal. I want you to look at this goal really closely for a moment. It's in the last verses, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But it says the goal of all this. In other words, how long do we keep doing this? Build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity. Unity is a big thing to Jesus Christ, apparently. He prayed for it. He prayed that we would all. So the goal, unity, let's look at this goal, this part of the blueprint. Three things. Unity in the faith. What's that mean? Well, it means we have a unity. It doesn't mean we all believe the same. We all believe the essentials, but we may have different viewpoints about this. You may have one viewpoint on the second coming of Christ. I might have another viewpoint, but we believe Jesus Christ is coming back, right? Amen? So we may have differences, but we're together. A unity in the faith, a unity in the knowledge of Christ, and a unity in maturity, a Christian maturity. We grow up. We're no longer babies tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but we grow up. We grow in our faith. And we do that through this whole process. So I appreciate Melinda sharing her testimony today. That's a growing step. You know, that's a growing step. It takes a lot of courage to do something like that. It takes a lot of courage to just be honest and say, you know, I've made some mistakes. But God has helped me, so, you know, that's growing. You know, church is God's plan, God's design, God's is the bride of Christ. We are, you are the bride of Christ. You know, and yes, the title of the ebook that I got, by the way, here's the title. I really like it. Living Faithfully. Living Faithfully When Church Disappoints. See, now sometimes church can disappoint because we're human. We're human. It's a myth to think that the church is perfect. It's a myth to think that the church has all the answers. The church knows the answer, Jesus Christ, but we have problems. It's a myth to think that the church does not have any challenges. But, on the other hand, the church is the bride of Christ. It's the way He intended us to be. It's His answers. It's the body. We're the body of Christ working together in this world. I'll be honest with you. Last week, you know, I went home and I wrote in my journal. I said, okay, here's the way church went today. You know, here's the way everything went. And it's pretty good. I wasn't negative or anything. I wasn't feeling down. But I got to thinking and said, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. I want church. I want Placer Heights Baptist Church should make a difference in the community where we live. And then, I'm not bragging on me or anything. It's just the way it went. Fred was out sick, so I went to Progress House Bible Study. In a Progress House Bible Study, there was a young man there, and I had Bible study all planned, had it all laid out. We were going to study the Lord's Prayer. We never got to the Lord's Prayer because I ended up sharing the gospel with him. He didn't accept Christ, but I'm praying that he will. So, but for 45 minutes, we shared the gospel. I shared the gospel with him. And then I had him on my prayer list, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, did we make a difference in his life? I hope so, because, you know, success, you know, we're just sowing the seed. Holy Spirit brings the harvest. And then Tuesday morning, Patty walks into my office and said, did you see this card? I said, no, yes, I saw that card. No, I didn't see that she accepted Christ. I said, did we, church, make a difference? And you know that young lady, you know how she first got involved with our church? It was back when we had a pancake breakfast and high attendance and somebody here invited her for the first time. Wow. About the only other time she had come is when we had a block party or something like that. It's making a difference. Making a difference. So keep making those differences. Care captains, keep calling those folks. It makes a difference. You know? Keep doing what we do. Keep welcoming people. Keep loving people. That's God's blueprint for us. Dear Lord, thank you today for everything we've learned. Thank you for our church family. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to keep moving forward, keep reaching out, to keep bringing honor and glory to you in everything that we do. Lord, in your name I pray. Amen. We're going to have a hymn of commitment like we always do. And we always have a time when I invite people who would like to become a part of this body of Christ, an official part of this body of Christ, to do that. If you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, certainly I invite you to do that. If you want to become part of this church family, I invite you to do that too. And you can just come and talk to me during this time of invitation or after the service. Our invitation is, He Keeps Me Singing. So let's stand together, and I'll be here, and you come. If you just need prayer, just want to say, Pastor Mark, pray for me, I'll be glad to. But just come and let me know.